Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Like nothing you have ever heard before. It's a tough room. It's the place to be. Thrive to survive. It's Taz. It's the Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
One, two.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth. Only me talking the truth. Ay. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Ay.
Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The always uplifting Andrew Bogish is in the house this morning for the vacationing Taz. He's got
so much sarcasm.
Well. No, it's not sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
You've got Shep and Pete across the way as we take you for another hour, right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Zach Streep will join us a little later on this hour. Talk a little Saints football with him. We closed out hour number two in style. Talking to A.J. Hawk, the former star linebacker with Ohio State, the Green Bay Packers. Run around the National Football League with him. Let's get to it. What are the storylines you need to know as you head off to work or do whatever you need to do on this busy August Monday morning? Here you go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Tom Brady signs a two-year extension with the New England Patriots.
Yes, Father Time ain't beating down Tom Brady as he is in his early 40s, 42 years of age. Two-year extension through 2021 will pay Brady $23 million this upcoming season. Gives the Patriots a little bit of salary cap relief. It's never been the guy that's looking to squeeze the lemon. Never been the guy that's looking to try and maximize his value if he was. I mean, he'd be the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League if he was making those demands. We know historic career, winningest quarterback of all time. Some would make the argument the greatest player to ever play the position. Some even might make the bold statement the greatest NFL player of all time, regardless of position. I mean, that's the kind of career that Tom Brady has had. He doesn't look to retire anytime soon. He's not looking to get into the broadcast booth. He's not looking for any other business venture besides, you know, the workout program and the book that he put out in reference to his eating habits and eating, you know, the yogurt and the, what was it? Avocado ice cream. Right, correct, yeah. And the like. So he's changed his body. He looks like he's, you know, 30 years of age, even though he's 42. Physically fit, chiseled. He gets rewarded with a two-year deal here. And good for Tom Brady. And good for the National Football League because I don't think the NFL wants to see number 12 go anywhere either.
No, of course not. And I knew this was going to get done. It gets done. Everybody wins as they have in the past. For the Patriot Tom Brady haters, at times in the past, you can nitpick and find ways that Brady wasn't doing the Patriots the favor that we all thought he was, but he's doing the Patriots a huge favor. It doesn't have to be this simple. He certainly could be higher than number six on the highest paid QB list, but you know, he takes what is in his mind a fair wage. It gives the team some flexibility to put some good players around him, and the train just rolls along.
It does. It does. And we got into a good conversation earlier on in the program. You know, how will it end for Tom Brady? I mean, nobody knows. It's all up for conjecture and speculation and debate. You know, will it end poorly? A lot of times it does end poorly between star players and organizations. I think the relationship between Robert Kraft and Brady comes into play here. I mean, at some point in time, maybe it's Jarrett Stidham. Maybe it's another quarterback that is yet to be drafted or brought in by the Patriots.
Or born.
It could be. Yeah, right. Exactly right. It could be a situation where I think Brady will probably have the understanding of when it's time to leave and when it's time to go, where his skill set has regressed here. But people have been, you know, a lot of guys and gals in sports media, you know, thought the Tom Brady run was over 3-5 years ago. And it's not over. And the Patriots' consistent brilliance with Belichick and Brady at the helm is something, Andrew, that I'm pretty confident I'll never see again. This kind of a run, the confidence in performance, regardless of injury, as long as number 12 is on the field. And even when Brady went down with that significant injury and tore his ACL, you know, with Matt Castle at quarterback, I know a different time. They were a competitive football team. They came close to making the playoffs with Matt Castle at quarterback.
That was 2007.
Right.
That's when, 12 years ago.
Right. And they changed the rules after that hit by Bernie Pollard, right?
Right.
And that where you can no longer go near below when hitting a quarterback in the NFL because of that knee injury.
Yeah.
That was week one.
That was week one, 2007. I was at my friend's wedding. They're no longer married, so Brady's wow. health has outlasted that marriage.
Poorly?
Yeah, in the neighborhood of poorly. It could have been much, much worse, but it wasn't necessarily amicable.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's...
Now, were you a friend of the man or the woman?
Initially the woman, then okay. of the man, just because we were together.
Now,
you know.
Who are you friends with now? Or both?
Really, I mean, it's my wife's friends. So, I mean, right, they're still friends. So, I mean, I see her, but I don't talk to him anymore.
Oh, you don't talk? So you sided with the woman?
I didn't really side. I didn't. It was awkward. It was the first time I didn't know what to do. I'd never been in that situation before. We weren't friends enough that I would go, like, hang out with just him.
Are they remarried?
No. No.
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
But your wife's friend is happy now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think they both are.
Oh, good. Good yeah. for them. All right.
And Brady certainly is.
Yeah. Well, he is.
And he's a Patriots fan, so he's got that going for him.
So the day that Brady tore his ACL, you were at a marriage. You were at a wedding.
Yeah, it might have been I think the wedding was the night before, because it had to be a Sunday, obviously, so I'm pretty sure the wedding was Saturday night.
Oh, there you go. Very nice. Well, that's when you think about Tom Brady's ACL injury,
you think about
a failed
wedding.
Marriage.
Yeah. There yeah. Can I blame that on Brady? Is that the thing I can do?
Yeah.
No, all right.
But he's signed through 2021. So for the next 3 years, at the very least, you're going to see Tom Brady wearing that Patriots jersey. All right, next.
Number two.
Colt McCoy named the Redskins starter.
Yes.
In theory.
In theory. Not necessarily the Redskins starting quarterback. So Colt McCoy right now on the Redskins depth chart in 2019 listed him as the first string quarterback.
Because they had a game this week.
Right.
Someone's got to be there.
That's right. And I think in all likelihood, listen, the Redskins are a disaster. Their left tackle doesn't want to play for him anymore. And he's probably the best player pound for pound on their team. He doesn't trust the medical staff. I mean, he basically wants the entire medical staff gone before he thinks about even suiting up for the Washington Redskins again. It's not about money. It's about personnel and the way that he has been handled as a player. So now you've got the poor man's John Gruden and Jay Gruden coaching the team. And now you've got Colt McCoy listed as your number one quarterback after drafting Haskins out of Ohio State in the first round April NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean...
They're a disaster.
I wish I didn't feel bad doing this, but they deserve it all because their owner is a whatever. And
to the point where somebody reached out to me that I know. Because I usually I can get tickets to Giant games, right? So someone reached out to me that I know that was like, you want the Redskins Giant games? I mean, my dad and I usually go, and I said, talk to my dad. I was like, we'll pass on this year. We don't need to go see Redskins Giants early on in the season. Usually they play late. This year it's early out at MetLife Stadium. I don't need to go see the Washington Redskins play football this year. They're just a
not even against the Giants.
No, not even against the Giants.
Not even theoretically a winnable game.
I've been there so many times where they've actually had good teams and they failed miserably. I don't remember how down I've been on Washington Redskin football. I think even last year I was a little bit more upbeat, even with the Alex Smith acquisition. You know, than I am now. And that's when we drew out of a Dixie cup about another team I should root for, and I drew the New England Patriots. You know, I was more down on the team. I'm more down on the team this year than I was even a year ago. They're going to be brutal. They're a bad football team. No other way to cut it. You got McCoy at quarterback. The left tackle wants out. You still got old man Adrian Peterson running the football. I mean, what is there to be excited about when you look at the Redskins?
Peterson running from bankruptcy. Oh, yeah, there's nothing. I'm sitting here in Giant Country. I don't have much to push off of either in that front. On that front, and
well, at least you got a young signal caller.
Yeah, sure.
Offensive line maybe, will be better.
Maybe terrible.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, they got that. They got that.
I mean, Barkley's a stud.
And they don't have Dan Snyder in charge, so that's always a plus as well.
That's right. You don't have Snyder.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
You have Colt Gettleman, McCoy, though.
Right. I understand. He leaves a lot to be desired as a general manager, especially the way that he handles the media. But if you're a Giant fan, you're happy that he did bring Barkley in. And all the reports early on with Daniel Jones in training camp are pretty good.
It's so training camp.
Yes, I know. I know it's training camp. Rather than be good than bad.
I guess.
Next.
Number 3.
Draymond Green and Warriors reach 4-year deal, $100 million extension.
Yeah, so Draymond Green plays ball with the Golden State Warriors, and he did not squeeze Golden State for every single last dollar. He still gets 4 years, $100 million. I think it's like $22 million his first year. It goes up after that.
Right, and it starts after the coming season, right?
Correct.
So I think it's like a 5-year, $130. I get what he's making this year.
Right, so it's an extension on top of he wasn't due to be a free agent, but he did not, hit free agency. He did not tempt fate. He did not try and look for a super. He did none of that. He took the 4-year $100. He realized he's in a good situation. And now if you're the Golden State Warriors, yes, you lose Kevin Durant in the offseason to the Brooklyn Nets. Torn Achilles and all. And yes, you have Klay Thompson coming off a torn ACL. But you've got D'Angelo Russell. You got Draymond Green. You got Steph Curry. You've got a returning Klay Thompson. They rebuilt the supporting players around those guys as well. And for all intents and purposes, Andrew, they've kept the championship window open out in Golden State. Now, with Kevin Durant, they were unbeatable. They were an unbeatable team. The reason why the Toronto Raptors are celebrating that championship and that Kawhi Leonard was viewed as the conquering hero had a lot to do with the fact that Kevin Durant was not healthy for that series. Because I believe if he was healthy, Golden State would have won another championship. But they were able to take advantage of a situation. Now they're not that unbeatable team. They're one of the teams that could potentially win a championship, but that window's still open.
I know so much happened, Moose, this offseason in the NBA. It was just ridiculous. The new Lakers, Kawhi and Paul George to the Clippers, Kyrie for now to the Nets. Jimmy Butler moving and the Sixers making their changes and keeping guys. The Rockets. There's so many different places to go. But somehow, I am the most intrigued by this Warrior team within this season because of Klay's injury, because Durant is gone. Now it's Curry, now it's Green, and now it's a lot of other pieces. And now we're going to see. Steph Curry, to me, is going to go bonkers this year. And I think Steve Kerr is an all-time head coach. But we're going to get a glimpse at just how good he is this year when things are not so stacked in their favor. I can't wait to see how these... Oh, and by the way, they're moving into a new building and a new location across the bridge. I can't wait to see how these 82 games plus play out for this Warrior team. I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, so you're more fascinated by them, than you are Westbrook and Harden in Houston? By Davis and LeBron James in Los Angeles with the Lakers, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in Los Angeles with the Clippers?
Yeah, it's a personal thing. Because Curry, to me, is just defies explanation. And then the idea of the last couple of years, deferring, splitting reps, giving up shots, letting meshing Durant in and kind of being second fiddle. Now he's got to be first, second, and third fiddle almost while they get healthy and get guys back and back on the floor and figure things out. To watch him go all out and be peak Steph Curry with no one else to defer to that's on his level and talent is going to be fun to watch. And I'm a big Steve Kerr guy. I've always liked Steve Kerr from the second I was a bad New Yorker and liked the Bulls and he was playing with Jordan and now all the way through to me being a phenomenal head coach. I want to see him in this situation, which they have not faced before, being shorthanded, not being clear-cut number one. It'll be the first time in a couple of years. Things are not going to go their way. They've got obstacles to jump over. I want to see how he handles it and how they handle it.
That's fair.
And that, to me, is more entertaining, so to speak. Like the Westbrook and Harden thing, I get it. And I want to see what LeBron can do because I love LeBron, too. And, maybe this group of guys works. Who knows? But the Warriors' season is going to hold my attention longer than those other guys.
Andrew, I will say this. I think and I don't know a soul on that Golden State team, but reading those that are in the know, those that are around the team on a day-in, day-out basis, I will say this. I think they will use it as extreme motivation to get themselves back and win a championship after the Durant run came and went. I think they will be, to a man, selfless, looking to play team basketball and as an organization trying to prove. Because Kevin Durant left Golden State because he wanted to go to New York and a business and everything like that and kind of prove all the naysayers wrong. I think people forget that Golden State won a championship without Kevin Durant. And I think people, I think they as an organization are going to look to it and say, all right, yeah, he came and went. We were unbeatable with him. We also won without him. Let's go try and win a championship and kind of bring this entire thing full circle and win a title without him.
Well, you know me. We've had this conversation before. I held nothing against Durant or them for combining forces and winning the way they did. I understood how good they were and how tough it would have been to beat them, I had no problem with it. So on one hand, I kind of miss it. On the other hand, I am, even though I had no problem with it, I am excited to see them kind of with all restraints off and with that edge and with, whatever anger, however you want to describe it, that emotion, that need to kind of re-cement themselves as a Durant-less unit. I get it. And that's, again, part of the reason why I can't wait to watch Steph Curry, I assume, go bonkers for 82-plus games because he knows he has to, especially while Klay Thompson is coming back healthy. But he goes back to being the alpha dog, and I think that's going to be fantastic to watch.
I think the most intriguing one for me outside of Golden State, Andrew, I'd say is Houston with Harden and Westbrook. With what Westbrook had to say at his introductory press conference, we'll give in a little for the betterment of the team, looking to try and win. I think that's going to be a fascinating watch. D'Antoni doesn't have that contract extension down in Houston yet, the head coach of the team. Up and down, go get it, shooting threes left and right. We know Westbrook's not a good three-point shooter. I'm fascinated to see how the Harden-Westbrook relationship, now coming back as teammates once again, but clearly, different now after what they've established in their careers. Harden with Houston, Westbrook with Oklahoma City, MVPs and the like. I think it's fascinating to see it. I think that, to me, is the most intriguing storyline, the Houston Rockets.
See, that's funny. That one might move the needle for me the least. And I don't know. And I don't know why that is, because we've had this conversation, too, where I've kind of, we were debating, pre-trade, what we would do for Westbrook. Do you want Westbrook? What would you pay for him? And I guess in the end, I'm kind of pro Westbrook. But, now that he's there, it'll happen. And we need to know what it's going to be like. And will one defer to the other? Will he play second fiddle to Harden? How are they going to coexist? There's no comparison. The first time around back in Oklahoma City was so long ago. But I think I care more about both LA teams, the Clippers and the Lakers. And I might even care more about what the Sixers are in the East.
Wow.
Between,
more than the Rockets.
Between Embiid and Simmons and then Harris a full season, you throw Horford in there, Brett Brown's Boston accent. Yeah, I don't know what it is about the Rockets where I'm just like, okay, it could be fun. It might not be. But whatever. I'm fine either way.
The Golden State Warriors keeping the band together. Curry, Thompson, Green, all three there long term. Throw in D'Angelo Russell as well. Mr. NBA, David Shepard across the way. Willie Cauley-Stein, too. Throw him into the mix, too. The Golden State Warriors kind of refurbish the bench and the support players going into a year that will be a little bit strange as compared to what we've seen the last 3 years, as Kevin Durant will be rehabbing as a member of the Brooklyn Nets. So there you have it. Your three big storylines here on this Monday morning. Contract extension for Draymond Green, 4 years, $100 million. If you're a Redskin fan, woohoo! Colt McCoy, number one on your depth chart, heading into preseason game number one for the Washington Redskins. And Tom Brady gets his contract extension now signed through the 2021 season for the New England Patriots. We'll come back at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Talk a little bit about induction weekend out in Canton, Ohio, as he had all the enshrinees, Ed Reed and the like. What is a great ceremony, annual ceremony for the National Football League and for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we'll talk a little Saints football with Zach Streif a little later on the program as well. It's Taz the Moose, Bogus in the house for the Vacationing Taz right here on this Monday, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Bob in Sacramento. Will Carmelo Anthony play another NBA game? If not, what's his legacy? Good question. We'll get to that in just a second. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Keeping a car clean, simple and expensive form of maintenance. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the cleaning and detailing products you need, including washes, waxes, polishes, leather, and vinyl care. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for Clean Car Month. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. Listen, I don't think it's a positive for his trainer to come out and say that, you know, Carmelo Anthony, paraphrasing here, in essence needs a farewell tour around the National Basketball Association. No team wants to deal with that. They really don't. especially for a team that he's not going to Denver and he's not going to New York. It's been a disaster in his other stops, whether it be Houston or whether it be Oklahoma City. I mean, you think Pat Riley wants to deal with that in Miami? You think the Los Angeles Lakers want to deal with that? You think the Los Angeles Clippers want to deal with that? I mean, that's the worst thing. For that to come out, for his trainer to be saying that, number one, is brutal. Number two is, you know, do I think Carmelo Anthony, do I think he can help a team? Yeah. I mean, Andrew, I think Carmelo Anthony could help a team if he was okay with his role. I mean, you know, I thought it was very, very interesting what Chauncey Billups had to say, I'd say 4 weeks ago, that Carmelo Anthony was too focused on scoring.
Right.
Right? When, in essence, he scored 18, the team won, he'd be a little down in the locker room. He scored 35 and the team lost, and he'd be happy because he dropped in 35 points. That was his main goal. I think Carmelo Anthony's mindset needs to change, have the understanding of what he is as a player now. If he'd be willing to come off the bench and kind of been like a, you know, Vinnie Johnson, the microwave, right? For now, I know Johnson was a guard, Melo's a forward. But for the old Detroit Pistons, kind of the microwave, coming off the bench, giving them instant offense. A Mark Aguirre at one point in time in his career. You know, then I could understand Carmelo Anthony could fit a role for his team. I don't think he has come to grips with where he is at this stage of his career, that's who he is as a player, and that's all he can be at this stage. I think Carmelo Anthony still thinks he's an elite-level NBA player.
Yeah, and that has to be the problem. There should be, and I think there would have been a spot for him last year, in particular with the Lakers, but there should be a spot for him somewhere this year in the back half of the season when a team's looking for a little scoring punch and you don't have to worry about, you know, managing him over a full season. You know, that should be the goal. Not a farewell tour. It should be finding a spot that gives you a chance to win a title. I mean, that should be your hope here, not just walking around the NBA and getting, you know, cheesy retirement gifts from different teams. Like, right. Put yourself in a spot to go win some games, you know, swallow your pride, score 12 impactful points per game instead of 20 meaningless ones, and pick your spot well, get the job, play the role, and maybe you win the whole thing. And that's the way that career should be, because Carmelo is an all-timer. I mean, the list of guys who are better individual scorers than him in NBA history is short. I mean, he's a phenomenal one-on-one player. But, I mean, he's done things, knucklehead things, and not bad things, but he's shot himself in the foot sometimes with his ego and his overimportance, and it makes you not want to root for Carmelo. But this is a guy that is a legit all-timer, and he deserved not a farewell tour, but there's one more legit chance to win a title, win important games.
Yeah, but this is, it can't be, no team, though, wants to bring in that headache that's trying to win. Nobody wants to deal with...
Which is why you got to tell them, listen, I'm gonna be a good soldier. I'm going to come in. You use me how you want to use me. If that means not playing certain games, I'm in, but I just want to be here.
Let me ask you this, Andrew. Do you think Carmelo's capable of doing that? Or let me ask you, do you think a team will believe that Carmelo's capable? Even if he goes into a meeting with a team and says everything that you just said.
Yeah.
I'm willing to play 13 minutes a night, 14 minutes a night, be a role player coming off the bench, be a good teammate. You know, I'll be a good role player, offense when you need it, hit some threes here and there. Do you think a team will believe Carmelo Anthony's okay with that?
I think there would be one, yeah. I think there'd be one that's in the spot where they see points.
Where he'd be willing to go.
I'd hope so. I really do. I'd hope so. I mean, he's got to know that the end is, that he's got no more chances, that this is his last good chance. And you'd hope that he'd be smart enough to just go chip in somewhere, but I don't know.
I just remember when we went out to Oklahoma City and everyone thought that was going to work?
Right.
And they was asked at his introductory press conference about coming off the bench and he kind of laughed.
Yeah.
That's where I look at where Carmelo, that's the wrong attitude to have at that stage.
I mean, the Rockets should have worked too.
Yeah,
where he
right.
didn't have to be the number one guy. He could have picked the spots better. He could have stood in the perimeter and just shot jumpers when Harden and everybody else and Paul drove and kicked it out to him. And that didn't work. And they didn't shed a tear when he left.
No, did not.
Just to give you a sense of like how maybe annoying he was, they were just like, all right, later.
No,
thanks.
We're not
for
bothered.
Nothing.
We're not bothered by it at all. Not bothered by it at all. So in essence, the chance that Carmelo Anthony is in the NBA this upcoming season, I'd say right now, if I had to put odds on it, I'd say it's, or a percentage on it, I'd say we're at like 15%.
Yeah, I might go a little bit higher, but not much.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely that he doesn't play this year than he does play.
Yeah.
But it's not out of the question that he plays.
All right.
On a side note, I know where the gym is that he works out in.
Oh, really?
And I want to...
Where is it?
It's here in Manhattan.
Okay.
And I think it's because that trainer is based there. I think he's just a regular personal trainer. But it's now, I think, the third straight summer where it's an NBA All-Star game almost at times in there. I just want to go there and
see. Is that the Reebok Club?
No, it's a Lifetime gym.
Oh, it's Lifetime Fitness.
Yeah. And it's in Midtown Manhattan. I think it's the only one in Manhattan. And I've been there and you walk through and I'm just thinking like we walk by and there's Carmelo, Enes Kanter's been there in the past, a ton of guys.
Well, you remember that video he released that the Knicks scoffed at of him working out on a field in Manhattan? It was dark out with the lights on. You know that field we drive, if you come
it's
down
right
the West
here,
Side
right?
Highway?
Yeah.
It's right here.
Yeah.
It's right here. Usually you see guys playing soccer there at 11:30 midnight at night. They have soccer games going on. If you come in down here late at night, down to lower Manhattan, we're talking about, for those that are in like Nebraska or Texas, we're talking about driving down the West Side of Manhattan. Here in New York City, there's a field, an AstroTurf field, that's open at all hours. They have the lights on basically all night long, and guys are usually playing soccer. There was a video that when Carmelo's Knick career came to an end, he released a video of him working out and doing kind of like field work, and it was shot on that field. It must have been like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning because there's nobody there.
I think I have a better chance of getting in one of those soccer games than into one of these basketball games, just hanging out at the Lifetime gym.
I think you're probably right about
that. Hey, we need a fifth. Come on over.
Yeah, I don't think you're usable. Neither am I. I don't think they need, a 5'10" and a half overweight guard.
Well, I know how Lifetime works. I belong to one on Long Island. I'm
good
like,
for
I'll get
you.
I'll get emails. I don't go enough. And
that's
they'll
a
high, they'll
that's
say
a
like
a lot of money a month for that.
I'm on the lower level one. The one actually, the one
you
here in Manhattan
once a month.
Well, at the Carmelo one in the city. If I was to go there with my membership, I need to give them $40 extra to walk
to
in the
walk
door.
In the door.
Yeah. So. But at mine, like, I'll get an email and say, like, the basketball court is closed for blah, blah, blah. I want to know if I get, if like, the New York members get an email and say, the basketball court is closed for today's NBA All-Star game. Like, NBA players have reserved the court for the next 3 hours.
Right,
do not look
ready.
Through the glass windows.
Right. Do not approach them. Do not look at the glass.
No, you can't watch or play.
That's funny. All right, you got an update. We're going to talk a little Saints. Zach Strief's going to join us. In a couple minutes, we're going to talk a little Saints football then. But Bogus got to get another update. What's up, Andrew?
Moose, it just doesn't matter who plays for the Yankees against the Red Sox right now.
Ground ball in the hole. That's a base hit to right field. Ford scores. Higashioka scores. It is a two-run base hit for Mike Tauchman.
Mike, Nick, Frederick Tauchman, it doesn't matter. Mike Ford also drove in a run as well in the 7-4 victory. That highlight, of course, John Sterling, Yankees Radio. The Bombers, a four-game sweep over 3 days of the Sox. They have now dropped 8 in a row overall. They are 6.5 games back in the wild card standings. Yankee second baseman Gleyber Torres in early exit last night, eventually going to a local hospital for tests on a core muscle issue. But Torres's dad tweeting overnight, his son is okay and will join the Bombers in Baltimore. Over in the NL, the Dodgers led the Padres 3-0, then trailed 6-3, then led 7-6, then trailed 10-7, then won 11-10 on a two-run double by Max Muncy in the bottom of the ninth. Tom Brady and the Patriots have reportedly finished off another extension. It takes Brady through 2021, but it's really about this season. Brady gets a raise to $23 million. The team gets $5.5 million in cap space. They're expected to revisit this contract each year Brady continues to play. Jaguars defensive end Yannick Ngakoue ended his 11-day holdout yesterday without a new contract. Ngakoue passed his physical, immediately returned to practice. He had until tomorrow to show up or lose a year of service, which means he wouldn't have been an unrestricted free agent next offseason. And Ryan Lochte won the 200-meter IM at the U.S. National Championships in Stanford yesterday. It was Lochte's only final of the meet. It's his first meet since a 14-month ban for receiving too much B12. We've all been there.
Oh, no doubt.
Moose, back to you.
Thank you very much. Yes. Oftentimes, I don't get enough B12. Zach Strief, Saints football, will join us next. It's Taz Moose. Bogus is in the house right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Stop.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Oh. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, if industrial supplies could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil is working to make it happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. With only 3 projected regulars in the batting order, the banged-up Yankees won their 5th straight last night, completed their first 4-game sweep of their longtime rivals since August 2009. Knocking off the Boston Red Sox and doing it in style. Winners of 5 in a row. Let's talk a little bit about the Saints right now as we continue to run around the National Football League. Zach Strief joins us, former Saints offensive tackle, current play-by-play voice. Hey, Zach. Taz of the Moose, Mark Malusis, Andrew Bogish with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it, Zach. Let's start here, Zach. For you personally, how difficult to make the transition from player to play-by-play man, and you do a very good job. How difficult of a transition was that for you?
Well, it's a big jump. I think that play-by-play is a skill that takes a long time to kind of develop, and I certainly don't feel like that I'm where I would like to be yet, but I'll tell you this, it's about as much fun as you could possibly have, certainly as a former player. I really enjoyed it. I get to be up in the booth with another teammate of mine, Deuce McAllister, and the transition was definitely interesting. I had lots of nerves last year, and I think the Saints helped out a lot. You get into a season that's as exciting as the Saints was last year. It certainly helps a play-by-play a lot.
Do you feel like a broadcaster yet, or do you feel like a former player doing a different job?
I think I'm still feeling like a different player doing a job. or like a former player doing a new thing. It's coming along. I certainly feel more comfortable when we get on air now. But like you guys both know, it's just something that takes some time and takes reps. And unfortunately, for me, you know, the only way to get those reps is live on air. So I get to develop in front of everyone and let all my mistakes out there for the world to see. But at the same time, it is a very special role. It's something that I'm pretty blessed to be able to do.
Yeah, well, enjoyed listening to you last year, and we'll enjoy listening to you this year ahead, Zach, as we get a feel of the team that you'll be calling all season long. How important was it for this organization to get the Michael Thomas contract out of the way and no longer be a distraction for this team?
Well, it's certainly good. I think getting Mike in camp was important. And, you know, you look around the league and you see some of these guys that are still holding out. And you know, it affects seasons. And, you know, I think the distraction part of it is probably a little bit overblown. What's not overblown is the fact that I think you need those reps to get ready for a season. And the guys that miss camp, it usually takes a few weeks to kind of get into the swing of things and get their legs underneath them. So, it's certainly great to have Mike in there, and I think as you look down the road and look into the future of, you know, what is life going to be like after Drew Brees, the Saints are really setting themselves up to put a lot of talent around the next quarterback, and I think the first step in that was getting Mike Thomas done, you know, and locked up for the future.
Zach, walk me through these younger receivers that have stepped up, I guess, at the beginning of training camp that made Cameron Meredith expendable.
Well, I think the first thing with Cam Meredith was that I don't know that he is really healthy yet. I think he's really still having some problems with that knee that he had operated on. I just don't think he's 100% yet. But if you look in that room right now, like you said, there's a lot of young guys. I think Keith Kirkwood did a really nice job. He was with us last year, undrafted free agent out of Temple, stepped up a lot when Mike Thomas was out. He kind of stepped into that role. Emmanuel Butler, the undrafted free agent out of Northern Arizona, has really impressed people in camp. Now, he's missed some time with an injury in the last few games, so we're not sure exactly how serious that is, but he had really stepped up. And you know, Traquan Smith was our third-round pick last year. Had a good season last year, 28 receptions, a little over 400 yards. I think they're really looking for him to make another step. And one guy that I think has really been a nice signing for the Saints is Rishard Matthews. Kind of had a down year in 2018, had some kind of clashes with his coordinator in Tennessee, and then gets sent up to the Jets and kind of loses a season. But he's looked very good. And not too far in the past, 16 and 17, was really productive for the Titans, and he's looked very good in training camp so far. So there's a lot of good options out there. It'll be very interesting. That's a position that's going to shake itself out in the preseason game, so it'll be fun to watch on Friday.
You know, one of the guys that's impressing early on, I know he picked Breeze off the other day. How about Eli Apple? Was a disappointment as a first-round pick with the Giants. You know, on the field, off the field a little bit as well. Maturity questions, too. It goes down to New Orleans. They acquire him. What about what Apple presents at the cornerback spot?
Yeah, I think Eli Apple's going to have a huge year. You know, first of all, he's on a contract year. They declined his fifth-year option, and I think that was every bit as much a motivator as it was a decision on where he's at as a player. But he's had a very good training camp so far. He has all those physical tools. I think a lot of the issues that Eli had in New York were personality clashes with the guys around him. It's very difficult when you're going to work and you're playing and practicing with guys who are publicly, you know, kind of talking about you. And I think that environment's really hard for a young guy to learn in. And, you know, he comes to New Orleans and he really gets teamed up with a bunch of former teammates. Marshawn Lattimore, Von Bell, both guys that he played with in college, Mike Thomas, a lot of Ohio State guys down in New Orleans. And I think that he's a lot more comfortable than he was in New York. And I think that you've seen it so far. But listen, he's a big physical corner, has had a really nice camp so far, and I think it's going to be a really nice piece across from Marshawn Lattimore.
Zach, Mark Ingram leaves. Latavius Murray comes in. There's some other bodies, obviously, behind Alvin Kamara. But, you know, he is now the kind of unquestioned number one guy. Any concern about overwork for Kamara? How do they find it? How do they balance out to keep him fresh for, you know, 16-plus games?
I think it's certainly something that they are very aware of not, you know, turning this into a situation where Alvin's getting 30 touches a game. If you look back last season when Mark was out, he was averaging about 26 touches, and that's just too much for Alvin to carry throughout an entire season. Now, that being said, he's a durable guy, has really never had issues, has played injured a couple times, and still performed at a high level. So I think he's sturdy enough to get through, but I still expect them to look to get Alvin the ball, you know, 16, 17, 18 times a game. I think Latavius had a good camp so far. He did get banged up a little bit, but it was mild, just out for a couple of days. And we saw a play last night at practice where you start seeing the skill set of Latavius Murray. And if they can get him in some situations where he can get ahead of steam, he is a load. And there is some talented guys behind even him. So I think they will still be cautious with Alvin. I think they will manage his workload all season long so that they've got him through the year.
You know, Zach, is there any hangover here? I mean, for the way that it ended, the rules in the NFL have changed after that championship game. You know, being that close to the Super Bowl, understanding how difficult of a road it is to just get to that point again, is there any kind of a hangover here for the Saints?
I don't think so. I think that's probably kind of an overblown perception for players. Listen, this is a generation that can't watch a TV show for an hour straight without looking at their phones 45 times. So I find it very hard to believe that they're all going to be hung up on these games that happened, you know, 7 months ago and a year and a half ago. I think the guys, if anything, respect and appreciate how hard it is to get to that point. And, you know, this is a young group 2 years ago, with a phenomenal draft class. And these guys are all still young, but most of this team has been together now for 2 years and have been through those situations. I think, if anything, it's caused them to appreciate just how hard it is and how good they have to be to get back to that point. So I don't anticipate it being an issue. I think it's a little bit overblown. It's a little bit of a talking point because I don't think half those guys could remember what happened in that game anyways.
Zach, let me go back to you real quick. Ryan Khalil comes out of retirement, joins the Jets. When was the last time you thought about playing?
Let's see. I got hurt in London in 2018, and I'd say about 5 hours after that game was the last time I considered ever playing again. So, it's certainly not something for me. Good for Ryan. I think it would be a nice place for him to kind of finish his career. Ryan's a really good dude, and it'll be nice for him to get up in New York and get around all that city offers. But no, not for me at all. I'm very comfortable where I'm at, sitting at the top of the stadium, though.
Well, Zach, let me, you know, overall perception of this Saints team here when going into it, you know, and we're now full blown into training camp. Preseason games are right around the corner this week. What's the concern? Where are the issues? What do you think? What do you think could be problematic for New Orleans this season, if anything at all?
Well, you know, I think the receiver position is a place where last season you felt like you really kind of underperformed behind Mike Thomas. I think we ran into games last year where we were short weapons. And when teams really started, we literally played defenses that were bracketing Mike Thomas and double-teaming Alvin Kamara and just leaving everybody unprotected all over the field, and guys weren't able to step up and make plays. So I think that's, you know, really the big question mark on this team. Defensive tackle was a question mark. Sheldon Rankins is out, tore his Achilles in the playoffs. We're not sure exactly when he'll be back, and David Onyemata is going to miss week one, so you're down two defensive tackles. That being said, the guys that they brought in camp, Mario Edwards Jr., has had a fantastic training camp, has really surprised a lot of people. They bring in Ziggy Hood, they signed Malcolm Brown, so it looks more solid now than I think we felt like going in. But for me, the big question mark right now is the wide receiver position and which of those young guys is able to step up and give Breeze, you know, another target in that room.
You think this team's quite capable of getting themselves right back to that NFC Championship game and this time getting themselves to a Super Bowl here, Zach?
Yeah, I think this is the most talented team that the Saints have had since 2011. It's so deep, and that's the thing we've been talking about. You will see four, five, maybe six guys picked up off waivers after this team makes its cuts. The depth that they have assembled here is really phenomenal. There's a lot of guys playing at a high level that I think are going to play really well in the preseason and not make this roster. So I think they've got everything that they need to get back to that point. We've got a gauntlet of a schedule early on, open up against the Texans and on the road for the Rams and Seahawks before coming back to the Cowboys. So they've got a gauntlet to open up. If they can get out to a fast start, this team, I think, is prepared to make another run.
Zach Strieff, a champion with the Saints, former offensive lineman, now currently the play-by-play voice. Hey, Zach, we appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy the rest of camp, the rest of summer, all right?
Thanks, gentlemen. Y'all have a great one.
You got it. Pleasure's all ours. And does a good job going into year two as
he does. Yeah, they're fun. That's a fun lesson him and Deuce McAllister.
It is. A bogus good job.
Thanks, Moose.
Mr. NBA Shep, fantastic job across the way as well. Velotti, too. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Till tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.